Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
He's the senior analyst for Pro Football Focus. You can follow him on Twitter at PFF_Mike. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing great. How you doing today?
Doing well. I'm looking at these games from yesterday with Daryl the Guru Johnson. We both watched them, kind of ho-hum. What was your general impression on the two games yesterday, Mike?
I think both games ended up going a little how I expected them to go. The first game of the day that Seahawks won, I think, got a little away from the Seahawks more than I would have expected. I expected it to be a somewhat of a tight game. But I think the Falcons' defense has sort of, you know, gotten better as the season's gone along. And just the air on them is just pointing up right now. So, I'm not too surprised by either of the results. Obviously, the Texans were an extremely flawed team going into New England. They really, I said before the game, I gave them a 0% chance to win the game. I rarely do that at any point in the season, but right. Just because of how overmatched they were, I don't think anyone thought they could actually pull off the upset.
I'm thinking of the Falcons' 36-20 win over Seattle, and I was telling Daryl before the show, I understand it turns into a two-touchdown-plus result, but man, if Seattle doesn't commit those penalties on the returns, it's a completely different ball game. It's amazing how those two or three penalties really hurt Seattle.
Yeah, that first one, the swing going from Atlanta, inside Atlanta's red zone to a safety on the very next play after Wilson trips was about as big a swing as you'll see, in the NFL over the course of a handful of plays. And that's what put them behind the eight ball to begin with. And it's really the Seahawks' MO all year long. If they're not a team that's built to come from behind and win games, they just don't have that sort of offensive firepower. If a team knows that they're going to pass, that's not a situation the Seahawks want to be in with that terrible, terrible offensive line.
Mike, speaking of Seattle, I just can't still get past, the pass play in the Super Bowl against New England to where they lost it. But they were so dominant. Had they won that game, they would have had two Super Bowls in a short time span. And I'm looking at this situation now. I'm looking at Richard Sherman be demonstrative on the sidelines, all up in Pete Carroll's face. And I'm looking at their O-line, their running back, musical chairs. Do you think the end of an era is upon us in Seattle? And if it is, do you think it's a quick fix? Or how do you look at the Seahawks from your vantage point?
I don't think it's an end of an era, considering just how much talent they have still locked up for a handful of years with Earl Thomas, Richard Sherman, Bobby Wagner, KJ Wright. I think, though, that we saw their offensive line was obviously one of the worst in the NFL this year. They just completely ignored that to pay all those guys we just said on the defensive side of the ball. I think their defensive line, though, didn't have quite the same amount of firepower that it's had in years past. And then it's just Russell Wilson was never forced to play behind an offensive line this bad. He was never forced to play from pressure as much as he was this year. I think if they can just get something figured out along that offensive line, gets, at least some, average to sort of play from that position, I think that I don't think it's a quick fix is necessarily out of the question for them.
Mike Renner joining us. He's a senior analyst for Pro Football Focus. You can follow him on Twitter at PFF_Mike. And I want to ask you about today's matchups. Green Bay going into Dallas, and then, of course, Pittsburgh, Kansas City, the game that's been pushed back to tonight in Kansas City. Let's touch on Dallas, Green Bay first. Impressions on that ball game?
This one's going to be really interesting to me. One, the two matchups I'll be looking for are Dallas going up against Aaron Rodgers, basically how they approach it. Are they going to be blitzing him heavily? I think last time they played, they dropped, they only rushed three guys, I think a third of the snaps. So they weren't, they're basically saying, hey, Aaron Rodgers, beat us. We'll give you all day to throw, but we want you to beat us through a tight window. And he just didn't do that. I think that was one of his lowest graded games all year. And I anticipate that being the case this today. Dallas just has a lot of weapons in that secondary, and, you know, forcing Aaron Rodgers to throw into tight windows is probably the best way to beat him because, you know, I don't care how good your defensive line is, you're not going to get pressure on him routinely with at Packers offensive line. And the other one, the other matchup I'll be looking for is basically how the Packers do against the run. Are they giving up 4 or 5 yards a pop, or is it kind of 2-3, and then maybe they get 10 to 12. But I think if they're consistently getting 4 to 5 yards, I think the Green Bay Packers defense is going to be in trouble.
Mike, I heard a lot about the Texans defense and how stout it was all throughout the season. But last night, I got to give them credit. I mean, for at least a good 10 minutes, I thought, what if? Could they get this? Could they pull this off? And I want to look at Tom Brady's performance. Do you think we need to just tip our hat to that great Texan defense? Or were you shocked at all by what you saw from Brady? Because I felt like he was getting some happy feet and they were hitting him. And, you know, he was missing some receivers.
No, I think Brady was easily at his worst that we've seen him all season long. We track a thing called turnover-worthy throws at Pro Football Focus, where it's basically a throw, even if it doesn't get intercepted, if it's a throw that probably could have or should have been intercepted. He had 4 such throws all season long, and I think yesterday he had 3. So in 12 games he had 4, and yesterday he had 3. He was definitely rattled, but that Texas defense, he's not going to face another team with that many good corners for the rest of the playoffs. There's a reason that they got as far as they did with that offense, and it's because, you know, they have some of the best. They have one of the best secondaries in the NFL.
Mike, I'm hearing the Cowboys may not be scared to go to Tony Romo if they need to. What would it take for the Cowboys to make that decision? Do they have to get down big? Will Garrett see something he doesn't like? What are the odds you think Romo takes some snaps in this game?
I put it so low at this point. Basically, it would have to take Dak Prescott getting injured for Romo to see snaps. I think the way they approached Week 17, only giving Romo a series, was basically to say, "Hey, there's no you know tryout period for Romo. He's basically our number two, no matter what. I just don't think there's any chance that they're going to go away from Dak, even if they go down 28 early and Dak looks like he's having a rough game."
Mike, the Niners are in the process of looking for a new head coach. And when I sit back and think about Chip Kelly's tenure, 1 year in San Francisco, you know, a lot of me says, you know what, he got a raw deal. He didn't inherit a lot. And I'm wondering, do you feel the same way, or what do you think about Chip Kelly's tenure here in San Francisco?
Oh, I think any time you only get 1 year as a head coach, you're getting a raw deal just because of, you know, how much it takes to turn around a culture, turn around, you know, an organization. And especially when you're inheriting the type of talent that Chip Kelly was. I mean, that was a team where if you just look at the roster from top to bottom, I don't really care who's coaching him, you would have said that's a 2-3-win team. So he didn't obviously overperform, but at the same time, we've seen, you know, Hall of Fame head coaches have terrible, terrible seasons as well. So I think he definitely got a raw deal. At this point, I'm not sure if they can even attract, you know, top-tier coaching talent because of how they've treated their past few head coaches.
Mike, the Raiders have secured financing for a stadium in Vegas. What percentage odds do you put on them playing in Vegas in 2 or 3 years?
I didn't think that the Chargers to L.A. would happen, when I heard the Raiders to Las Vegas, I didn't think that would happen. But with every passing day, it seems like the tie just starts to swing. And if I had to put money on it right now, I'd bet that they are going to be there, which is crazy to think about. But if I'm an NFL owner, I think Vegas would be, you know, a great place to have a franchise in terms of, you know, marketability and all the profitability that goes into a team like that.
Yeah, Mike, we're obviously out here in the Bay Area, and unfortunately, I tend to agree with you at this point. I think this team's headed on the way out. Hey, Mike, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
All right, that was Mike Renner, senior analyst for Pro Football.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.